you.
Yeah, it's sunny all day.
You can do better than that.
It's sunny all day.
And it will be sunny all day for the next week, regardless of what the other stations say, right? Okay, the reason I'm excited is because we're going to be interviewing somebody that I've always wanted to interview on the Saturday special. A lady who caused quite a controversy some quarter decade ago. So let's start.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know. On KSCO Radio.
The phones are already ringing, and we haven't even given out the phone number? How can that be? Well, welcome, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California coast to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. Back in the saddle at the radio station, and we're going to, I think, have a pretty interesting program today, but you will be the ones who will ultimately decide that.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Remember the Miss California pageant that used to be held in Santa Cruz each year? Do you think it was a cattle show for corporate profit? Ann Simonton does. You know, the radical feminist activist who back in the 80s dressed in a bathing suit made of stitched together pieces of meat to protest the event? Ann and her innovative protests are credited with and blamed for driving the Miss California pageant out of Santa Cruz. Has Ann Simonton mellowed after a quarter century? Is the Pope Jewish? Don't ask if she's still a babe. Ann has been running MediaWatch.org, a Santa Cruz-based nonprofit that works against anti-women and racial bias in the media. Over the years, she's been featured in many national news stories and television interviews, but only now is she about to appear on your favorite radio station. Find out what makes Ann Simonton tick on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Don't Want to Make You Mad, Just Brutally Aware station, AM 1080 KSCO. Unless I wasn't aware of it at the time, I don't think I've ever interviewed a feminist. A real, live feminist.
How's that for you?
I don't know. I'm just, I've led a sheltered life.
What can I think they just haven't told you.
What can I say? That's
everything.
Probably what's going on. Ann Simonton, welcome to KSCO. I know
thanks,
you've been
Michael.
Here before on the morning show or something, but never for an interview. An in-depth interview. You know, right?
Right, you're going to find out what makes me tick. My vital signs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So listen, you know, I wouldn't have thought. No, that's not true. I would think that stunt that you pulled back in, when was it, 1981 or something? 82 for the Miss California, where you dressed up in a bathing suit made of meat.
I did that various times.
Oh, you did?
I did a bologna dress, 30 pounds in 82, 85. Hmm. 85 it was, I think. I wore the bathing suit made out of skirt steak. And
okay, now listen, I mean, before that, mm-hmm. before that, I mean, you did that to dramatize the unfair treatment of women in the media, I guess, right? But that was, is that the reason that you did that? Because before that, I understand you were a model yourself, right? And
well, I did it because I wanted to make people laugh, because I think people need to laugh at things that they take too seriously. And I think that we take gender and the stereotypes of what women wear and how people dress way too seriously. And so clearly I was pointing out the fact that women are treated like meat in the media, and wanted to emphasize that. And it was very cathartic for me personally, having done runway shows and having done a lot of modeling myself, to be honest, to have that moment of clarity for myself and those who looked at me,
well,
to see me for what I was being turned into.
Something must have happened. Some event is what was it that created this epiphany, that where you felt that you had to demonstrate in a humorous way I mean, I think that's what you did was really funny. But a lot of other people, I'm sure, are just fuming who are listening to the program right now because they feel that you drove out a major part of economic vitality to the Santa Cruz area.
But then you'd be blaming me for having for it now being on the country music television station, and it's lost it's lost popularity.
Oh, no question about it. Mm-hmm. I haven't even heard anything about beauty pageants in many, many years. And in fact, I was surprised to see that there still is a Miss California pageant at all, because after you said that you would appear on the program, I wasn't going to bother to do it before, but after you said yes, I did a Google search, and I found that, yeah, it's still alive and still running. There's still a Miss America pageant. But I guess people's priorities have changed. I guess you were sort of way ahead of the pack, I guess.
Well, the work that Nikki Kraft and I both did in the 80s was to try to increase awareness. Nikki Kraft came up with this term, myth. California, M-Y-T-H, because it does expose, it does talk about lies about women. It doesn't give us a real representation. And my background being in the industry itself taught me from a very early age, I always had my eyes open and I looked around and I thought, well, gee, what is all this glitter about? I did TV shows when I was very young. I did lots of different television commercials and various.
You were retained by advertising agencies for your clients?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I started at the age of 14.
Wow.
So this awareness that I had from looking at the Hollywood glitz and glamour and seeing it as a sham, which it is, and they do extraordinary things to clothing in order to sell them to people, mm-hmm. that they're creating an illusion that is a lie, that's an obvious lie to those who are in the industry.
What is the illusion and what's the lie?
Well, it's on a variety of levels. Clearly, one major lie just is that the product that you're buying is not what you see in the picture. and at this point now, we're selling dreams and brands. They don't care about selling the product. They want to sell a lifestyle. They want to sell, they want to make you feel inadequate about yourself and then fill it with the product. So that it's a complicated lie, but it's still lie.
And isn't everything sort of like that? I mean, one of the best businesses that I can think of is a business based on fear. The whole insurance industry is based on fear. I mean, what if, you became incapacitated or died, and what would become of your family, Fear-based businesses, there's no better motivator than fear, to get someone to take action and spend money. So, I mean,
why would you want to have greed and malice and hate be the motivating factors for a media that is promoting all kinds of things?
Violence in television and so forth. Yeah, that's been an issue for many years.
But we see a need to have more honesty and to have more diversity.
So they came up with the rating systems for the movies and for television now, too, I think, right? Isn't there?
Right, but they're monitored not by people who really know the statistics of what childhood development needs. They are being monitored by parents who have this ratings creep who don't really understand that they themselves can't even see the violence any longer, and that what was rated, G is now P, is now, what was rated an R movie is now PG.
Is that right?
Yes, Harvard did a study about that. But if you look at who these people are, they just pick random parents in L.A. It's like not a big wide variety of people to become the rating people. Again, it's a biased industry, and people, if we had fair, open airwaves and diverse, independently owned media, then we would be able to have access to information where we could really make informed decisions, and they may not be based completely on what a MPA rating would be, because it doesn't take into consideration a lot of things that are important, that if you compared that to what the American Medical Association or different groups are actually coming up with what's going on with the violence in media, because most people don't have a clue about how bad it is.
Uh-huh.
And this,
well,
and this is
because they've been what's the word?
oh, man, what happened to my vocabulary?
Well, Michael, it's very lucrative, the whole industry. Selling violence is extraordinarily lucrative.
Cha-ching, for sure, you know.
Well, it's easily translated into foreign
everything.
Markets. Okay, you could say it's behind everything, but people need to understand that they are being forced to watch things that may not be very good for them and may desensitize them, may make them more fear-based themselves.
People are typically in an hypnotic state, right? And you want to sort of awaken them from that or just let them know that...
Well, I mean, if you think about what Noam Chomsky wrote about two conceptions of democracy, that on the one hand, there's an idea of democracy that should exist where people would have free access to information, and they would be able to participate in some meaningful way in their lives. Then there's another conception of democracy that would say, oh, you know, only a specialized group of individuals should have this information, and that everyone else is kind of like the bewildered herd. That's what Noam Chomsky calls us.
Yeah.
and unfortunately, that's the conception of democracy.
I think that's what we are. I can go along with that.
Yeah.
You do go along with that, right?
Well, unfortunately, that's what we are. And the bewildered herd needs to stop drinking so much alcohol and doing so many drugs. They need to start thinking about what's really going on in their lives.
Wow.
Because we have an opportunity to participate in a meaningful way in a community-based society where we could have free access to what's really our right as citizens in a democracy. The airwaves are supposed to be a part of our public trust, and we have given FCC as our real estate, he's like the landlord.
He's our
manager.
Yeah.
And they're giving away free this incredibly lucrative, it's $467 billion is what it's worth, our airwaves, these licenses that are given away for free to corporations. Our broadcast licenses could be giving us a lot of income so that we could have an independent media that where real free flow of information and ideas were
What is that? Wait a second. Oh, now you're getting into an area that I know about. Are you suggesting that if there was there are fees, they're called spectrum fees.
I understand that there are some fees that did not exist
15 mm-hmm. years ago when I got in this business. And they were instituted sometime during mid-Clinton era, I think, starting probably, I think, in 94, 95, where every radio and television licensee was suddenly required to pay what they call an annual regulatory fee, just because they have this license. So what you're suggesting should be implemented already has.
Well,
and maybe they don't charge enough, but it seems to me that what I hear you saying is, in the one hand, you want there to be more independently owned media, and then you also seem to be saying that the media isn't being charged enough, and that the people should have to be paying more, and if you're going to pay more, how you're going to have more corporate media, you're not less. Because people like me are going to be increasingly unable to afford to pay the regulatory fees.
Well, you're a great example, I think, of someone who's, independently trying to keep this program going and programs like this going. And yet what we don't see are, it's just kind of like the way taxes work. Why should, there should be a bigger tax base for the really rich people and there should be a smaller tax. So if you and this station shouldn't be charged the same thing that ABC and NBC and Fox and,
because I'm an
HBO.
Independent? Because I'm an independent?
Yeah.
Because the way they do it is the way you pay is according to your coverage area and how much of the population, according to the census,
mm-hmm.
that you have as your potential audience, okay? In which case, we pay all our regulatory fee for little KSCO. I mean, when I say little KSCO, little in the sense that we're, we charge, 50, 40, 50, $60 for a commercial, and KGO gets $900 to $2,500 for a commercial, and they sell a lot more than we do, okay? And we have to pay almost the same regulatory fee that they do. I mean, it makes me gag.
I mean,
it makes me want to do what Nikki Kraft did out in front of the Miss California pageant. you know, some years ago.
Yeah, just to let the listeners know, Nikki actually did vomit into a urinal that she had out there in front of the pageant that said, try this diet that millions have used. And, you know, we wanted to bring bulimia out of the closet, essentially, with that. And she did that. And she this was after consuming the sponsor's products.
Uh-huh. Oh.
The pageant sponsor's products.
Oh, my God.
Which were things like Nestle's.
That's got to be
Corn Flakes.
That did it. that did it. It's probably the sponsor was horrified. And that was the end. You're laughing. You sinister lady, you. You know, what a horrible thing that you did. Don't you realize that you screwed up the economy in Santa Cruz big time with that demonstration?
I think that it would have moved on probably in its own way. And yet, you know, I never wanted it to move. I wish it was still here. It was a great place.
What was the point?
Platform.
What was the point? Did you want some media attention or something? And you got it, so you were happy. But I guess what I'm asking you is, are you surprised that the convention said, hey, we don't need to be around here next to these weirdos? We don't need to take this. We don't need to be humiliated and embarrassed. Did that surprise you that they left? Or was that not what you were looking to happen?
It's never what we wanted, because it was
really
an incredible venue for us to bring out issues about beauty, about surgery, about, you know, all the different problems that occur with women and their self-image, that we were able to use this as a platform. There's nothing. There was. I missed the little Thunderbirds going around that town, and you know they had the contestants in the little Thunderbirds.
Right.
That part.
I remember. Yeah.
Well, we would follow them in our own little truck as they would open up the street and allow us to kind. You know, once they opened the street after the parade. We had our own little float, and it wasn't a big float, and it wasn't like 20 floats, but it was just maybe one, maybe two floats, and it was an opportunity. It was a great opportunity.
It's funny, I always thought that the demonstrators, that typically speaking, demonstrators were humorless, and those that they were demonstrating against were in the other, you know, the opposite. They were humorous or humorful or had a sense of humor.
Well,
this seems to be the opposite in this particular case.
Well,
you
they
guys
went
were
underground.
Having fun, and the others were taking themselves too seriously.
They actually stopped that parade right after we did those kinds of antics because they didn't want us to have that platform. And that was very sad for us because we loved having our floats following their floats and, you know, that kind of thing.
It really gets down to a freedom of speech issue, huh?
Absolutely.
It really does. That's all it is.
When we were in San Diego, when they first moved to San Diego, and they arrested me for having dropped a rose on the sidewalk, we were able to actually challenge them for infringing on our First Amendment rights because they... the police were, you know, incredibly attacking of us. And so, I mean, it's always been an issue of free speech, and women don't have it. One of the things Nikki Craft did early on when I first was working with her was that we were celebrating our First Amendment rights by going to Hustler magazine down in Los Angeles on International Women's Day, which is coming up March 8th.
Uh-huh.
And this was an opportunity for us to celebrate our First Amendment rights. But it's something that we don't talk about when it comes to pornography. It's always, oh, well, of course we want to stand for free speech and First Amendment, but who's standing? And who's naked on the floor? You know, who's got their clothes on and who has their clothes off? There's a discrepancy of power, it's between the buyer and the bought. There's a huge...
Okay, this is getting a little deep for my brain
okay,
here.
Well,
but no,
sorry,
no,
it's
I, no, no, it's okay, because I want to understand what you're saying, and I don't. You want to bring awareness to how women are treated and how there is an underlying racial bias in the media. Okay, so you do it. Then what? So people are aware of what you're all about. Then what? I mean, do you want to change it? I mean, do you want to somehow stifle that? Or you can't say yes to that question, or else you would be someone who's not in favor of free speech.
We think that. For example, the pimps and pornographers shouldn't have more free speech than the people that they're using to sell their product. I mean, the people they're using to profit from.
Well,
we think that all of us
really
need to have free speech.
You must really be excited about what about what the new technologies and the internet in particular has brought to our society, because it's, boy, I can't think of three more descriptive words than the great equalizer. You know, I mean, the web is something that anybody can use to say and do anything, you know, even things that are disgusting and even things that are, you know, so you must be thrilled, you know, because you can use the web and get. It sounds like you didn't have any problem getting on Oprah. Did I see that you were on Oprah?
Yes, once? I've been on Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Dr. Phil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I occasionally forget why I shouldn't go on those television shows, and then I do another one.
Why shouldn't you? What a great way to get your message out.
Well, they don't really allow you to go in depth in any topic. They want to keep it a safe little soundbite and sell, look good, so that the products around it can be for sale. And they just want.
Well, you must love this 2-hour format then, right?
Well, I'm hoping we can scratch the surface.
Yeah, that'd
go
be great.
Deeper into some of these issues.
I was looking for something to write with so I could remember the Noam Chomsky characterization about herd. What was that term?
The bewildered herd.
The bewildered herd. Okay, I wrote it's not unaware herd. It's bewildered herd. Okay. I'm putting out the call to the great bewildered herd out in KSCO listening land. If you want to give us a call here and participate in the Saturday special with Ann Simonton, now is the time to start dialing 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to send an email, you can send it to mz@ksco.com. I think I can get the email up. I think I can get it up and running here, but it's not at the moment. We do have a fax line at 475-2967 if you want to fax us a cartoon, cereal, or something. So go for it. 479-1080, 477-1340. 28 minutes past 10 a.m. Coming up on the 25% finished with our program point. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon, and we'd like to hear from you. Let's go to the call, to the phone lines now. Our first caller will be... Oh, it's Krishna, except it's spelled with a C. Okay. Hi, Krishna. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Here's Anne. Here's Krishna. How do you ladies do to each other?
I be very well.
Good.
But, of course, listening to this lady again, I have to say that there is this implicit message that she is sending, that all women are victims. Victims of corporations, victims of men. Maybe they're willing victims. And what's wrong with that? What does she say with what's happened to women now who are fighting to get naked on the screen, on the streets, in school? How did what she did have any effect? It seems to me it's gone the other way. But what I'm always offended by, especially the left-leaning types, is that they see us as victims. We have every right to be doing whatever we are doing, meaning women. Women then were more decorative. I'd rather they were on the stage being beautiful than being skanky on the streets like they are now. And they took that away. Lefty people just take the joy out of life.
Well, it seemed to me you asked, you didn't directly ask... Anne, a question here.
No, that's okay. She's brought up a lot of good...
She belongs to a crowd that gives out this message that we are all victims of manipulation. Well, hell, maybe we want to be. After all, if you think about it, life is nothing but an artifice. And there are certain artifices we like and certain we don't like. Who's there to tell us to do what they want us to do?
I have a feeling that Anne is happy that you called, Krishna.
Yes, I am happy.
Yes.
I want you to think about the fact that women who feel that they're being very sexual because they've had their breasts enlarged and their labia
hardwired.
It's,
we want to be sexual creatures.
Well, that
we
want. I think. Well, we are sexual creatures, but that's not all we are. And so, in order for us to advance ourselves, we are, in a way, participating in our. I think we're participating in our own degradation. By
yes, but we are doing it so willingly, gladly. Some for money, some for adulation, some for lust. But we are doing it gladly and willingly. Nobody is forcing us to get naked for Hustler. No one anywhere. This is hardwired. You can't fight it.
I don't agree at all that it's hardwired. I mean,
it's hardwired. look at the girls on the streets today from 12 on up. They must throw every crevice that they own. Tell me.
Well, I mean...
If I were to do your argue your point of view, I can see it very clearly.
Okay,
but
well,
you know this meddling of trying to take things away from people is really worrisome.
Well, okay, again, I mean, I hope that you enjoy whatever you know you enjoy in your life, and that
I'm a very Victorian grandmother.
Well, whatever you are, or that whatever you're trying, whatever point you're trying
woman.
To.
I love to see a beautiful woman. I don't necessarily like women who are vulgar, but
I'm not.
Anne doesn't want Krishna. I don't think Anne is saying that women who want to strut and be beautiful should be prevented from doing so. Are you, Anne?
Anne has her standards, and she wants to impose her standards on other women. She's calling women victims. It's manipulated. Victimized.
Okay.
None of us are.
I'm not saying that at all, and I think that you're really misinterpreting a lot of what I'm trying to get across. But one thing that we don't talk about, and certainly don't talk about in the media, is the harms of the sex industry and the ways in which, you may say, for example, okay, you're choosing it. No one's forcing you. No one's doing this. They get on the Hustler willingly and so forth. But what we don't talk about is the experience that, the harm that this has on all women in general. That, okay, you're having an empowering experience, but what's the cost to all women? The harm of the sex industry doesn't depend on whether persons depicted are participating voluntarily. I think that the sex industry exists because men as a class demand that there be a subclass of women, children, men, and transgenders who are available for their unconditional sexual service. That's what the sex industry is about. And if you want to delude yourself into some other fantasy, go for it. And I'm happy that you can be on a, you know, get your little pole dancing outfit on and swing around that pole and do what you want. But know that this is something that has an effect on all women. As long as you're faking lust on some strip dancer in some bar, you're pretending something. Everybody's losing out. There's no increased intimacy between two people. There's no ability for real connection. And so that's something that we're hoping that people can have real connection.
Krishna,
women are stupid. They're not.
I'm not saying that.
Every thinking, intelligent woman has a good relationship. And those who don't have it, well, hell, they don't deserve it. They don't have the intelligence to have one. But let there be theater in life.
I love theater and life, but I also believe that there should also be social justice and equality between the sexes and between all the genders that exist in the world.
Hold it, Ann. Now, did you hear what Ann just said? Because you weren't talking then, so I think you were listening, right, Krishna?
Yeah.
What? You weren't listening?
I was.
Okay. Now, can you argue with what Ann just said?
I like
that there should be social justice.
I don't want social justice.
You don't want social justice. Krishna,
yeah.
I am disappointed in you.
I like social justice. I don't want anything imposed upon me. I want people to be absolutely free to do whatever they want to do.
Okay.
I don't want someone else's standard to be my standard.
We will leave that on a positive note of acquiescence. That was Christian Santa Cruz. Opens up a line at 479-1080. We also have open lines at 477-1340. Lots of open lines. I think people are afraid to talk to you, Anne.
I
think that's what's going on here. But we do have.
I have my giraffe ears on.
We do have Rolf in Santa Cruz, who's our next caller. Rolf, you're on the air.
I'm here.
Welcome to
KSEO. Good morning.
Hey.
My compliments and respect to Ms. Symington on her achievement to counteract sexism. Period.
Thank you.
One of the issues, and something that I want to bring up, and I would hope you would take a hard look at this. If you don't want to lose your credibility on many levels, do not quote the linguist Chomsky. I have a question. Have you ever sat through one of his lectures?
I've never had the opportunity to sit through a lecture, but I certainly have seen it on a community TV. I've seen
a lecture,
and I've,
what kind
I've
of a
radio
lecture
shows. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's on a lecture tour. I mean, I'm principally based in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm here visiting right now, and I'm certainly delighted to hear your program that you're on. And I
did you just happen did you just happen to be tuned into KSEO?
That's right. Because, you know, I
How did that happen? Did someone you're staying with say
yeah,
it's a wonderful
I'm
radio station?
Yeah, I'm friends of mine, TAP, people who just respect your open approach, and I congratulate you for that as well.
Oh, thank you. I want to keep you on for the rest of the show. I love compliments.
Ms. Symington, what I want to share with you briefly, and the final question, I'll be as brief as I can be here, is please be aware that, to quote Mr. Chomsky, who is known in thinking balanced circles to have no heart and only an overflowing cerebral monstrous brain. I have sat through his lectures at Mackey and Boulder to the point of exasperation. I wanted to. The man truly, and please look at this, has no heart. He is a monstrous brain. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Wilhelm Reich. Are you at all?
Yes, I am.
All right, look at Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich would have just called him the cerebral monster. The man just it does nothing but deny any good of the United States. Everything the United States has done ever is evil, evil intent, etc. And I'm sure, you know, I grew up in post-war Hitler, Nazi era, and the French-Swiss-German border. I'm part French, or Lorraine, French, German, and Swiss. I don't want to make this a personal issue. And I've seen the monstrosity of all that. And I would hope that you would look a hard look and carefully use that man's name, okay? And this is not a bash Chomsky. I don't know him personally. He just has a horrible reputation in terms of being a human being with a heart and a head.
Well, I sure like his bewildered herd, you know, character. I mean, I'm just...
You
I'm
like what, sir?
I like the term that he apparently came up with, the bewildered herd.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think that's... That's pretty cool here, actually, and I think it's pretty accurate, actually,
yeah.
The more I think about it.
I agree, but we need to be cognizant that when we use a man's name, use one statement and extract it from his whole body of work, that becomes, you know, Hitler said some wonderful things too, right?
What?
You know, and I can quote you lots of them that out of context sound great, so I don't want to make the big issue.
What's something wonderful that Hitler said? Just one thing wonderful that he said.
Oh, that the average person deserves the dignity I recently reread Mein Kampf, you know, which is his absurd statement of lies, but nevertheless... that the average person deserves dignity, okay? Well
I would stand by my quoting of Noam Chomsky, and I would stand by a lot of his criticisms, which, again, in a free-flowing information society where independent views were heard, we would be able to have debate without naming or attacking someone, calling them a cerebral monster, or so forth. But maybe you prefer John Conyers. This is he's a Democratic representative from Michigan. Are you familiar with John Conyers?
I am indeed.
Well, let's take, for example, his resolution number 635. Most people here in the United States don't know much about this resolution, and yet he wrote a 182-page report about a need for us to impeach our current president, and outlined very astutely, you know, four or five or six points that I think, you know, again, is important for us, even though everyone says, oh, we can't ever impeach him because there's so many Republicans and as opposed to the Democrats, and we should just give up and not do anything. But I think, you know, when we have a felon in the White House, I think it's time that we do start talking about it.
Please don't go to that issue of calling the president a felon.
Okay, maybe you'd like me to read some of the...
Let me finish.
Would you... Okay.
For you to say that, is to be dishonest.
I'm not being dishonest.
Now, let me finish. If the president has been convicted to be a felon, then you can call him a felon. And I think we should just stop the discussion now. You've totally discredited yourself with me. Thank you.
Okay.
There goes Rolf in Santa Cruz, and we don't have any other callers.
Oh. You think people are frightened of me, is what
you're
saying.
Well, either that or disgusted. I'm not sure.
Disgusted.
But that's, listen, we know that people, more conservative people than liberal people, listen to KSCO. And I think that that's a shame, because
I would
like...
encourage them, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I would like everybody...
I think it's great. I think people should look into this House Resolution number 635, because actually Sam Fari is one of 22 people who've actually come forward and is encouraging... And it's just encouraging an investigation into some of these
and I had a talk before we went on the air.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, be prepared for some people who might not like you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you said, and I said, I'm sure you've got a thick skin and you've gone through years of knowing how to handle yourself. Thank you. But I agree with the last guy. I mean, our president, you might not like what he's doing, and you might think he's all for oil and his family and so forth, but he hasn't been convicted. He's not a felon. So why do you call him a felon? Did you do that just to, because you thought you would make me happy by making a bunch of people call?
No, I did it because I truly believe that there are impeachable crimes that he has committed that need to be investigated. And if it comes through that he indeed, that none of this are substantiated, and that we have a really an investigative group that isn't, they aren't all his old friends that really like him and have financial interest to keep him in power,
uh-huh.
That if we could have an independent review of some of the allegations, then we could
What are some of those impeachable offenses?
Okay, the number one is that they're asking to investigate the administration's intent to go to war before congressional authorization, investigation into the manipulation of pre-war intelligence, that the current administration is encouraging torture, that they're retaliating against critics, that their invasion of Iraq as perpetration of a crime against the American people, that, you know, I mean, it kind of goes on that there is fraud. There's been a chronic abuse of power. There's fraudulent elections. I mean, there's things that we need to really look at. Conyers also did an incredible report on the Ohio election in 2004, which really brings up a whole race-based issue around the problems of fair voting rights in this country, and that if we're discriminating against a huge number of African-American individuals that seem to be targeted in those very special groups, that there are question marks. I mean, why in this past election was it that the exit polls were so far off? People need that question answered. It's interesting, though, that people don't get angry about it, that there's such widespread apathy. And apathy comes from a lack of information. You get the bewildered herd tech thing going, and then it's not pleasant to hear about
it. I think that's
things.
A great question you just asked, why the exit polls were so far off. I have a theory about the exit polls.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the exit polls were never honest to begin with. The polls are what the media wants to see happen. So that's what they trump up.
Well, that's
and that's not what happened. What happened was what the people wanted to happen at the last election.
Well,
that's my answer to your question. Do you
uh-huh.
disagree with that? Obviously, you do.
Obviously, I do, because I really do believe that that there was a predicted winner, that they've never been off by that much. That 5 million votes were supposed to be what Kerry's win was going to be over Bush. It turned out that Bush actually won by 3 million votes, and that this discrepancy is statistically impossible. And that the only place where the exit polls were accurate were where they found old-fashioned hand-counted ballots. Now, that to me is a question that we need to investigate. You could call it whatever you want. You could say it was a manipulation by some other group or something, but these are questions that need to be investigated. And the work of Kenneth Blackwell...
Excuse me, everybody who's calling 479-1080, start calling 477-1340 and you'll get in. Call 477-1340 now. We want to talk to all of you, okay? We're talking to Ann Simonton on the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. This just in from Serial Faxer. It's not a cartoon. Oh, such a shame. But it says, Saturday Special, Dear MZ, great guest and topic this week. Thanks for a unique show. Dear Ms. Ann, how about you slip into something sexy, a little black dress or halter top, Daisy Dukes, and we go out and have some fun. Your fan, Serial Faxer. Now, just to be fair, he writes cartoons and stuff. You don't listen to the station probably very much, so you wouldn't hear. And he says, just to be fair, I'm suggesting a strip club and then maybe a seminar on midwifery or equal pay. What do you think? P.S. Noam Chomsky underpays his housekeeper. Thank you, Serial. Looks like we have almost full jammed lines now. That's more like it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we want. So instead of going to the phones, we are going to play a break of commercials, without which we could not be here.
Be sure to listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Talkback radio for the Central Coast. Financial Survival is heard at 1 p.m. every Monday and Tuesday. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Wait a minute. You mean I had to do the next commercial? I think I did, huh? All right, the next commercial is this one.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes.
Dennis here from Day and Night Computer.
Hey, what's up, Dennis?
Checking in on you, man. I haven't heard from you. Most of the time people get a new computer, they call me with a question or two.
I don't really have any questions yet.
But you're pretty happy with it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm very, very happy with it, Dennis. It's very impressive. Thank you so very much. It's a godsend, it really is. Better than anything you could buy at the store, that's for sure. So everything's working good on it so far. Yeah, I'm just very grateful to you for selling me such a good computer. Maybe that's why I haven't called you, because it was working so good. It's so darn fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, is that what you like the most?
Yeah, the speed and the features that it has, you know, it's just a very nice computer.
Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, there's no place like Day and Night Computer, because they'll take care of you day or night, and they don't care if you wake them up in the middle of the night. In fact, they encourage it.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hey, thank you, Big Boy Stagnaro. Michael, don't we have some bumper music? That's what's been missing. There's no bumper music. We got to get some bumper music. Yeah, okay.
I can look for some if you want.
Yeah, let's look for some bumper music, and when you find it, we'll just interrupt, and we'll just pretend that we're going to put on a caller right now instead of the bumper music.
All right.
And when you find the bumper music, bang on the window, okay?
All right,
thank you. So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, with a Saturday Special with me, MZ, your host, hosting Ann Simonton, a feminist activist who runs MediaWatch.com, and also known as MediaWatch.org. It's right here in Santa Cruz, actually. And Anna's been very active in bringing to light for the last quarter century or so bias and racial bias in the media and improper treatment of women by the media. And that is the topic that is near and dear to her heart. Is it near and dear to yours? If it's not, perhaps it should be. If it is, call in call in either way. Let's go back to the phone lines. Gordon in Aptos is next. Hi, you're on the air with us, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good. Let me get up on a hill here. Well, I agree with Ms. Symington about the exploitation of women. I think that it's disgusting and degrading, and not only that, so limiting in the way the women are portrayed. But I also somewhat agree with Krishna that that there's a hardwiring situation, both male and female, that way. And I don't know that gender equity is ever going to turn that tide.
Well, anything that's hardwired doesn't necessarily have to continue to be hardwired. It can be disconnected and rewired.
A priori, the very nature of hardwiring. I mean, you have a male, female procreation subconscious urge there.
Yeah,
and
that is hardwired.
It
I don't think that's
in the gets perverted in the application. Now, I was saying that when she descended into a socialist mental disorder rap, that's where I think it ended in a lot of agreement that I might have with her. And I just wondered one thing. Are we getting to know her intimately? I just wondered if she was a heterosexual person.
Well, are you a heterosexual person, Anne?
I would.
Oh, let me turn on your mic. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I stand on the fifth?
Sure, if you want. No,
I mean, I don't understand how that's really relevant to any any conversation.
Are you playing
because
games
I believe
okay,
that
just
I believe
just call me Senator McCarthy, but everything you know, after the fall of the Soviet Union and the revelations of most of what Senator McCarthy asked were actually true. I just, you know, wondered to put things in perspective, to just wonder where you were coming from. Because I told you I agree with you and everything you said, but I just wonder, you know, how you could lapse into something. Why weren't you interested in meeting Bill Clinton? I mean, he gave away our missile guidance systems to the Red Chinese. I mean, you want to check that out and talk about cronyism? He added a new definition to cronyism.
Well,
we forget about that because Bush isn't a socialist. Is that what's happening?
Not at all. I think that, you know, that we should demand investigation of everything and everyone, and certainly any past.
Did you do that during the Clinton administration?
Yes, actually, I was concerned about him being. That he had committed rape against a woman that was coming forward that nobody talked much about. But you know.
Okay, listen, I agree with you. If we
now that should make you feel.
I'll investigate Bush's thing.
That should make you feel much better now, Gordon. Does it?
Yes, it will.
Good.
But Gordon, I just, you know, I think that what we need to talk about here is the definition of manhood being based on domination. Because to me, the problem is that in a culture where we define manhood on domination, we have to understand that domination is not a permanent state. It's relational. That means you have to have someone in a subordinate position, and that's what I'm challenging. That is not hardwired. And so
totally agree with you 100% with that. And that's why we have to exterminate Islamic fanatics. I mean, you don't want to be dressed in a burqa, do you?
I don't want I don't want to be forced to have breast surgery either.
Now wait a minute, it's getting a little too hot here. I think maybe we should change this topic because it's getting a little too dangerous now. I don't want to offend too many Muslims.
Okay. I just want to stir the pot.
I'm only kidding, although some people say I shouldn't be kidding.
Well, I think that if you look at a woman who has felt as if she is so ugly and hates herself so much that she has to undergo surgery in order to feel okay about herself, that she is that comes from a culture that is as fundamentalist in many ways as a culture that is, you know, doing female genital mutilation and
wrong.
Okay.
One is by choice and one is by compulsion.
Okay.
You can't argue.
Hey, Gordon, have you ever thought about becoming a talk show host on KSCO?
He's quiet.
He hung up. I think I insulted him. All right, let's go to Carl in Pacific Grove. Carl, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi, Mr. Zwirling, and hi, Ms. Symington.
Hey.
I've been listening to Ms. Symington talk and some of the vocabulary she's been using, and if before I start, I want to tell you that I'm just saying this with, we're trying to say this with the utmost respect to you, Ms. Simonton, but I do want to point out some things that I think are an abuse of the English language that you're employing in making your arguments here. One, you use the word that men demand that women take, they demand the sex industry. That is an enormous hyperbole. In fact, it's not even true. There's a market for it. Men want it, but they're not demanding it. This kind of characterization of men also is an example of how women are the great enforcers of the male role, which is, in this case, that all we think about, all we want, is sex.
Well,
we
it is.
Any kind of intimacy with a woman, it's just for sex. And even with a man, it's got to be sexual. And so the other thing is that even if there is a demand by men, there's not a white slave market where women are forced to do this. They have free will. There are laws that protect them. They can go. They can choose. I'm not going to go and do the pole dancing at the strip bar. No one's forcing them to do that. Men aren't forcing them into it. They do it because they want to do it. It's their own free will. And this thing about no intimacy, this creates a culture of no intimacy. I will agree with you that that's true, probably true for the men that use prostitutes, you know, or somehow, you know, get involved in, I don't know, do some of the, maybe men that go to these strip bars, there's no intimacy. But you, the way you're talking, Ms. Simonton, is that there's no intimacy at all in our society. I mean, there are hundreds of couples that are deeply intimate with each other, despite being immersed in this culture that you're talking about. And you know, it's just an example of, you know, use the example of George Bush being a felon. Name me one felony George Bush has been convicted of. You know, it's just, I mean, it's great theater, Mrs. Simonton. You know, and it creates great drama, but it has nothing to do with reality.
Well, let me start with the last question that you brought up about the Bush administration.
I want a criminal conviction by a court, Ms. Simonton, because anything else you're going to tell me is an opinion.
No, well, let's go to March 13th, New York Times from last year, and let's look at some of the video news releases that our government is using our taxpayer money to create news segments on our news programs that will enhance or make the Bush administration look good. This was found by a government accountability office. It's called the GAO. They found out that there are 20 different groups in our federal government that are using these VNRs, these video news releases, and that they have found that this kind of covert propaganda is, in fact, breaking federal law. This one isn't even mentioned in any of the investigative things.
And the conviction for that is by what court, where?
Because I am interested in media reform. And
you're not answering my question.
I am answering your question. They are saying that they have to put on the top paid commercial. You know, if people saw on the news that this was funded by the, you know, by the different Bush administration government, that this is brought to us as covert propaganda, then we would be able to make informed decisions. I'm just asking for honesty, and I think that all of us should have a right and have a need to start asking for transparency.
Don't you think that in your quest for honesty, you would be more effective if you wouldn't say that the president is a felon when he hasn't been convicted? Okay, it's your KSL Saturday special. I didn't want to interrupt you, but we're right up at the top of the news on KSL Santa Cruz. We will be back in 6 minutes. Stay with us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton. As
KSCO 1080.
That's right. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, February 25th, 2006, 11:05 a.m. My name is Michael Williams. I have your Central Coast weather forecast. We're looking at some areas of coastal low clouds and fog this morning, though it has burned off officially here at the radio station. Highs in the 50s and 60s. South winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight we got some partly cloudy skies. Lows in the 40s to lower 50s. Southeast winds of 5 to 15 miles per hour. On the bay today, we're looking at a southeast wind of 5 to 15 knots, becoming southwest during the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet. A west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 12-second intervals and some patchy fog. It is currently 62 degrees here at the station. And we take you to hour two of the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Yeah, hi, Michael. How you doing here? Hey, I got the iPod, so I got some wonderful, and I think it's pretty appropriate bumper music.
Let's see what you got.
Okay. Yeah. Come on, where is it? Oh, you know what? You know what the problem is here? The problem is I'm just so rusty. I'm just plain rusty at running the equipment here because I'm usually somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here it is. Here, see?
Yeah!
Okay, enough of that. Okay, all right. See, I guess it didn't go over all that well, but here, we can try this. We can try, what keeps saying
Los Angeles
here.
On camera.
No, not that. Not that. No, not that. Give me something. Now, this is a good one here. This is good bumper music to come back in. Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. You know, it's just occurred to me, ladies and gentlemen, that I have committed a sin. I haven't opened hour number two of the Saturday special in the proper manner. So I'm simply going to have to do that right now.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, my personal apologies to all the people who are waiting to get on before, especially that man who had been waiting for a long time from Pacific Grove. Call back. We'll put you to the head of the line and get you on, okay? Everybody.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
It would be incorrect to welcome you back to hour number two, but it's correct to welcome you to hour number two because, you know, I could say welcome back to the Saturday special, but it's welcome to hour two of the KSCO Saturday special for those of you who are hung up on semantics. Okay, Aptos Margaret on a cell phone is going to be our next caller.
Hi.
How are you, Aptos Margaret? Be honest.
I'm pretty good.
Good. Okay. Well, here we are with Ann Symington and Aptos Margaret on a cell phone. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I was just wondering, what do you feel or know of the issues that porn presents to men, women, and their relationships?
What do I know about that? Well,
what do you feel?
Well, essentially, what I believe is that pornography is predominantly hate propaganda. And the reason I say that is not that I'm anti-sex. I love sex, and I would love to have depictions of sex, but unfortunately, much of what is put out there and the trends that we're seeing going toward gonzo pornography encourage the idea that women enjoy violence and humiliation, and that this is part of what gets them off and what they want to have happen to them. And I think that it's very limiting, and I think that any time that one engages in relations with a two-dimensional object, that it's really sad that people aren't connecting as humans together, and that these flat objects, these pornographic objects, whether they're on the internet or they're in an image, that this is something that, you know, we could just do a lot better in terms of what we could be teaching.
I feel that I can feel a man's aura that he's looking at pornography. I mean, as a woman, I can tell within a second by the way the guy is looking at me, just a stranger off the street, if he is a pornography addict or even looking at it. What do you think?
Now, that's quite a talent.
Oh, you can feel it. It's an ishy, creepy aura. I want to tell you something. I got married once. 3 years later, my maid of honor horrified me by showing up in Playboy as Miss July Centerfold. And for over 2 years after her pictures and her bio appeared in Playboy, she and her family received boxes and boxes and boxes of fan mail consisting of photos of the most unbelievably gross and ugly creepy men doing obnoxious acts with her photo. And these men would write creepy, dusty, icky letters to her and send her spent condoms, their poo-poo, everything. Awful. And that's what she got.
Do you have any comment?
That was gross. And that's, you know.
Well, I don't think anybody listening to the KSCO Saturday special would disagree with you.
You know, and I mean, who raises boys, really? Women raise boys, don't they? So we have to go back, fall back at women. They're the ones who raise our sons and our boys. Right? Right.
Well, it becomes very difficult in a culture where there's so many images online and ways for them to get an alternative view. But I do think that openness and discussion, comprehensive sex education that would include all kinds of information so that they are coming into it knowing what's going on and that they don't have any questions. And that, you know, the other caller, Gordon, had mentioned sex slavery and that there was no sex slave trade. And indeed, there is a very large sex slave trade of white women, even, and many of them are coming out of Belarus and out of Moldavia and places, you know, and out of Russia. It's, you know, there's a lot of women that are being trafficked. In fact, I mean, the statistics that I have is that in the United States, between 14,500 and 17,500 people are traded in within the United States. And internationally, it's estimated that it's 600,000 to 800,000. And they're mostly women and children who are being, sold through for sex and so forth. So, and the Internet is just a breeding ground, unfortunately, especially for pedophilia, where they feel safe and feel that they can have this kind of anonymity. It's very accessible. And it's very affordable because, even the free sites, there used to be just a few free sites of internet porn, and now they kind of start you off with the free sites and then kind of get you hooked. And then you end up, I think it was a lot of free sites. Now it's, okay.
Yeah, well, I was going to say we got a lot of callers. I want to thank Margaret for calling the Saturday special. It's 14 minutes past 11 a.m., hour number two of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Our next caller will be none other than Tom in Salinas. Hey, Tom, you're on. Hello,
Tom. Tom in Salinas?
Yeah, Tom in Salinas. That
hey,
Tom.
My great show, terrific guest. I think, has your guest ever seen the Bill Maher show, Real Time?
Yes.
So have I.
He's, you know, I'm Republican, and I think he's just hysterical. I love to watch him. Really funny, and he does actually have some very good insights, even though I disagree with a lot of things he says.
Yes.
And one of the things he says is, you know, there's just a difference between man and woman as far as how we view pornography. And, you know, he gave a great example. Women probably like things a little more romantic, and let's just put it this way, since we're on the radio, is guys aren't that interested in the romance part, okay? It's just a difference. But your guest is really making a serious error comparing pornography with slavery. Because white slavery is one thing. Those are people who are doing things that is beyond their will. They are forced into it, and that is a crime against humanity and should be prosecuted as such. But pornography involves women who are doing it voluntarily. They may be exploited, but they are paid, and no one's putting a gun to their head or taking away their citizenship. So I would like that the your guest to at least admit that distinction.
Well, I think that we often don't really understand the complexity of the word choice. That on one level, it really, choice exists on a continuum. On one side, you have a gun at someone's head and you're forcing them to do something. And on the other side of that choice continuum, you are absolutely choosing this freely without any restraints, correct? Isn't that correct?
These women are choosing without restraint.
Okay,
so they have their personal circumstances. In other words, they psychologically they may be messed up, but that has nothing to do with the fact that other people are saying, we'll pay you to do these acts on film.
Well, actually, their psychological makeup, I would suggest for us to understand choice in a more complex way, which would take into consideration some of the pressures, whether it's poverty or whether it's her background if she's been sexually abused. What is it that has brought her to that place? Maybe she's choosing it, because I have interviewed and I have talked to quite a few women who have been in the sex industry, been in pornography, and been in prostitution. And what they often will tell me is that they started out very early, that they often started stripping with a fake ID, and that they went into ended up in the sex industry, either in an internet porn or whatever it was, and that a lot of them have, that there's a mix of sexual abuse in their background, that they have possibly been are on drugs of some sort, drug addicted, and that even the memory of their childhood sexual abuse hasn't even been recovered from, you know, in their life until they're older. That, you know, that a lot of times if men are, you know, masturbating to these images, they should consider that what they're masturbating to is a drug addicted teenager who's been sexually abused. And this is, maybe it would make you less excited.
Now, wait a minute. I had you potted down, Tom. So go ahead and say your piece here from the beginning.
Once again, there is a distinction between what men and women, how we view things. And I'm sorry, but you just have to accept that difference. Pornography has been around, my goodness, since, I mean, the age of Emperor Tiberius. It's not going to change.
I thought it was, it only dated back to when I was about 5 or so.
Oh, Mike, come on. you're only as old as you feel, Mike.
Yeah, I'm a very, very sheltered person.
But the point is that I'm just, once again, you know, Anne is trying to, first of all, change the definition of choice, which is, I think, unfair for the argument. You know,
I'm not trying to change it. I want you to see it as complex. I want you to see the complexity in choice. It's not it's not something you turn on and off.
So what if he does? So what if he does recognize that complexity? So what?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Oh, what if he recognizes the complexity? Then he could see that there are varying levels of which someone might choose to be in an industry or to be doing things that they're doing, and that it might be based on things that we, as a culture, need to know more about. Is she doing this because she's in poverty? How poor is she? What is her choices?
And
what does she have? What are her real alternatives?
It's almost 90% of it is because they were abused as kids. Almost all these porn girls have been abused. You take a poll, I'm sure, Ann, can you disagree with that?
Can I disagree with that they have been abused?
Almost all of them have been, yeah.
Well, doesn't that make you less excited about
Jewish or something? Anne, are you Jewish or something? Why do Jews always answer questions with questions? Why shouldn't they? Anyhow.
Ann, I was surprised
to make a sexual issue into a political one. Okay.
It is a political one.
It's a personal choice. It's not political. You're trying to make it political.
The basis of what I do is that the personal is political.
Now calm down, Tom. You know, it's
well,
it's not
okay.
I appreciate your you know, points of view in terms of that, okay.
What are you proposing anyway, Ann? You're not proposing censorship, so what's the point of this conversation here?
The
point of this conversation is that if individuals, all of us were informed about our choices and we knew that individuals like young women and girls are hurt in the industry and they're harmed through being in the industry of pornography and prostitution, that we might be able to make informed choices and choose not to purchase, not to be helping out with those industries, and that they would, you know, the pornography would get dusty on the shelf and everyone could walk away and they would be able to have more intimacy in their lives without having to use pornography in order to get there.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
20-year-old males. Good luck, Ann.
Yeah, but
thanks
Tom,
a lot.
Tom, it was very professional of you to wish Ann good luck.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. There goes Tom and Salinas. Here comes Louie in Los Gatos. We will get... No, that's not nice. No. I was just going to go to the guy who just hung up instead of Louie. And when I, as soon as he heard that I said Louie, he hung up. The guy in well, never mind. God, that's awful. I mean, I need to take people in order.
Yeah.
What I want to do is when people are calling from far away, if it's, you know, some people still are paying for the call, you know, and I like to. Okay, Louis in Los Gatos, you're next. Did you hang up too? Oh, I'm sorry. Here, go ahead. You're there.
Hello?
Hi. Oh, Louis?
No, this is Lori.
Oh, Lori. Sorry.
It's Lori in Los Gatos.
Okay, Lori. Good. Happy to hear from you.
Hi, thanks. Now, one of the things that it seems to me in our, let's say, encouragement to educate people about choices is that we neglect to tell people what the results of a choice is, what the results are, rather. And so when people proclaim that women are making a choice to participate in pornography, it seems to me that they're not making a choice if they're not also choosing to, if they're not also choosing the results, which are the degradation, humiliation, and the psychological problems, the family problems it's going to cause, and all those other things, the problems that their behavior is going to cause for the men who are participating with them. And so it's not just a matter of choosing whether to do something. It's a matter of choosing whether to do something and obtain all of those results, which it seems to me most people would then choose not to do. No, I don't want to do this because I don't want to cause bad things in people's marriages and in their relationships towards other women and everything else. And it seems to me that the education about abortion, for example, has the same lack of information about choice because we don't tell people what the consequences of choosing to abort a child are going to be.
Now, who can argue with that?
Yeah, no argument there. I mean, it's very complex, and it's important to look at all the consequences, and that this is something that as parents or educators, any of us who are concerned about our youth would want to make sure that they get that information. And I've worked with a wonderful group out of San Francisco that does, it's called the SAGE Project. It's they stand against global exploitation and work with young runaways on the street, young women who are just entering prostitution and are given, you know, they try to work with them to give them options. They're not stopping them, but they want them to understand what the consequences could be.
Thank you. That's a
good point.
Thank you, Lori in Los Gatos. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Guess what, gang? We got totally free lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340. I know there are some angry people out there who are waiting for a long time. I promise I will speed through the callers so you won't have to wait too much longer if you call again. It's your opportunity to talk to Ann Simonton and MZ, but you can talk to me anytime, so that's nothing special. Here's a email to MZ from Dan in Santa Clara. It says, great interview and a thought-provoking guest. Ms. Symington would be great with her own KSCO show. Regards, Dan in Santa Clara. Thank you, Dan in Santa Clara. Okay, let's see. We got some other emails, I think. Where are they? Where are they? They must be around here somewhere. Okay, here's a question. Let's see. Yeah, is today's guest Cindy Sheehan? Sure sounds like her. Position, politics, and stupidity. Signed, Robert F. Landon, the C3 Group, 845 32nd Avenue, Capitola, California. Phone 4831-8706-2423.
No, I'm not Cindy Sheehan, but I, you know, I certainly want to bring our troops home, and I want to stop this war. I don't like war. I stand with Women in Black every Friday. I've done it for 3 years, and it's given me an incredible perspective of our community, of my own commitment, and just the whole issue of what does it mean that our taxpayer money is going toward military might. And what are we getting from it? How are we benefiting? And at what cost? So
if you have an answer for that question, yeah, call us with it, 479-1080, 477-1340. It's AM 1080, your favorite station, with MZ on the Saturday special with special guest Ann Symington. Let's see. I was going to say Jose, but there's a PH at the end. So it's Joseph who is our next caller. And Joseph is in Santa Cruz. How's everything in Santa Cruz, Joseph?
Yeah, the sun is breaking through the clouds. So.
Michael was right.
That's right.
He really was. And I hereby publicly salute Michael for being right.
Okay, well, so I just wanted to talk about Ann's position on social change. I think it's great that these issues are getting raised, because so often they're silenced. And I appreciate the fact that she's willing to speak out on controversial topics and just sort of, you know, talk about the beauty standard and talk about, suppression of independent media. And
listen, I thought that the Miss California pageant people were awfully humorless and awfully and took themselves too seriously, too. At the time, I was very amused by Ann's and Nikki's demonstrations.
Well, I thought it made it a much bigger event to have, you know, all these. I mean, they were getting all kinds of press that they lost once they moved to, I don't know, some, you know, Bath. You know.
No, they moved to San Diego. Am I right?
Yeah, no, then they moved to Fresno after that, and they're jumping.
Fresno.
Yeah, and it was.
Why would they want to move to Fresno?
Well, they could get sponsors' products. I mean, they could get corporate sponsors. That's what they were lacking in San Diego.
Oh, okay. I wonder why they were lacking it in San Diego.
They were run out, basically. Nobody.
Did you guys follow them? Did you run off?
So, yes, we did.
Never.
But you didn't want to follow them to. You didn't want to follow them to Fresno because no one wants to go to Fresno. Ugh. Right? Is that what happened?
We should go to Fresno. Fresno's closer than San Diego.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm not sure if there's enough visibility in Fresno that it even raises much in the way of issues. It sort of doesn't really happen much anymore, as far as I can see.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say things. I do feel sorry for people who have to live in Fresno. I do.
Well, they can grow some stuff that we can't grow here. Look at the bright side. If you're a gardener, perhaps it's good.
Okay. Well,
but
Joseph,
I wanted to talk about choice too. I mean, Aristotle was the one that said that slavery was, you know, was made sense because the slave had a choice to be a slave or not. That he could always kill himself. And so, when you're talking about negative social positions and people that are being oppressed, remember that, you know, you got Aristotle on your side because. But then the question is whether that's really a choice when the choice is, you know, give me liberty or give me death. And so I'd love to keep raising these questions. I'd love to hear Ann raising these questions about, you know, is this really the direction we want our society to go?
Something tells me you're going to be hearing a lot more of it. Thank you very much, Joseph. Nice to hear from you on the Saturday special.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, open lines here. Now, there's another email here. There's another email. Oh, this is from Terry in Santa Cruz, and the subject is FYI. Anne is married to Joel Schultz, the last I heard. They own an India Joe's restaurant, the last I heard. Sorry, caller, no dyke. I only wonder just how this talk all diverted into just another show about the same old political crap we get Monday through Friday, and that's from Terry in Santa Cruz. Well,
same old political crap? I don't think it is.
No,
I mean,
we're talking about women, and we're talking about...
I mean, I think that... let me bring up another issue that I think is that something that I am very interested in is the move toward understanding harmful cultural practices here in the West in terms of looking at beauty standards and ways that we don't right now, that we don't really consider beauty standards being harmful because they are being chosen and that they are a choice for women. But I would like to bring up the idea that potentially they also have less choice because there's so much pressure to look a certain way in our culture, and that these pressures are making young women feel terrible about themselves. We saw it in the Super Bowl with that Dove commercial, that there was so many that's such a problem that young girls dislike themselves and have low self-esteem that they dedicated that whole campaign to trying to recognize that we are doing a disservice to our youth to not provide an environment that would allow them to thrive, and that their potential is being encumbered by these ideas of pressure and looking a certain way and being sexy and being hot and doing all these things that we're supposed to do to ourselves in order to fit into a very rigid mold. So this is something that Sheila Jeffries has written about, and I really recommend Sheila Jeffries as an author. She's written Beauty and Misogyny. She wrote a book called Unpacking Queer Politics. She's a very interesting feminist out of Melbourne, Australia. And I interviewed her recently, and you can listen to it online at radioforall.net, which is a program that has a lot of radio shows on it, if you're interested. But and it also can be found on MediaWatch.com under multimedia. So anyway, if people are interested, there's so much that we aren't talking about in terms of harm and of things that we could be doing to create a culture where women are really free to be without makeup, without feeling encumbered by tight clothing and things that make us feel uncomfortable, that we would have an opportunity to really explore our potential in ways that we aren't right now.
Okay, it's KSCO, the Saturday special with Ann Simonton, a special guest today, and MZ, your host. It's 32 minutes past 11. That means 28 minutes remain in this edition of the Saturday special. Give us a call if you want to participate. We have open lines at 477-1340. So if you want to get in right now, that's the number to call. We will be moving through the calls a little faster than I have been. So my apologies again to those of you who are online waiting and getting frustrated so you hung up. So do call back. We'd like to hear from you. Here's Leonard in Watsonville. You're on, Leonard.
Hi, yeah. I just cut out right now. But I will say one thing. Women, if they want to do a breast enlargement, they're going to do it because they want to. Listen. Last year, my wife was bugging me. My wife's going to be 43 this year. I told her, no, I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to do it. She wanted to do it. She wants to look beautiful. That's fine. But it's something she wanted to do. She had her freedom of choice. I, as a man, did not make her. She wanted to. And we live in a society where we have freedom of choice. And you have to honor that.
No, I do honor that, and I think that it's perfectly fine that she wants to choose it. The point is that how have we medicalized the beauty industry to make a woman feel that she needs to have breasts that look a certain way in order to feel beautiful? That's my question, and it's merely something for us to think about. And I think that. You know, I applaud you for trying to stop her because, okay. You know, she could have died during the operation. I mean, it's a difficult procedure because another thing people don't understand about the cosmetic industry is that it is an unregulated industry. That means that there are no proper death records being kept, that doctors, after just a 16-hour crash course, are performing liposuction, and that the problems, the complications, are not known. And so we need to look into this.
I think what you're talking about is in medical. Medical, yes, I do believe that. Here, the doctor, the surgeon that she went to, very good surgeon. But I will say this. Breast enlargement, we throw that word around a lot. That we, it's like brightening your teeth. And I will say this. It is a major operation for all those women who think it's easy. It really isn't. And there is a lot of pain involved. Now, if you have a weak stomach, a lot of the medications they're going to be giving to you for the painkillers will upset your stomach. So for those women who want to do an breast enlargement, think twice. Talk to somebody who's already been through it. Now, saying that, my wife loves them. My wife's a beautiful woman, even without the breast enlargement. She's a very beautiful woman.
You're a good guy.
I love my wife. Yeah. And she wanted to do it. Okay, I'll go ahead and do it. But like I said, we have freedom of choice. Now, it's something that's in us. You know, men, women, it's something that God put into us. You know, men will always chase women. You know, it's something that it's in us. It's at our core.
That's exactly
right. And when
right.
women do dress up, they actually, women dress up, yes, of course, to attract men, but also women will dress up for other women. You know, they do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they do that. But again, I don't think it's natural that they're chasing women. It's natural that there's an attraction between the different, you know, genders, and that there's attraction there. That makes sense.
And you know what?
But mm-hmm.
even in homosexual relationships, you know, even a man with a man, they want to go with somebody who's actually attractive. You know, it happens there too. You know, it's both ways. People like to be with attractive people.
Well, I mean, like is actually attracted to like. So if you look at
everybody, always try mm-hmm. to put their best foot forward. First impressions mm-hmm. mean a lot.
Right.
Everybody knows it.
I'm not denying that, but what I'm saying is that if in a world where we had real choice and opportunity, that we wouldn't be so obsessed with how we look. We would consider other things, people's contribution to the world. We would think about their public service and different things that really give life meaning rather than the very surface of changing of one's clothing and the hairdo and the fingernails and all the different things that actually are what I call gender identifiers, which would show that women are in this subclass, that they're different. It's a demarcation than the men, because the men have more comfortable clothing, and they don't wear high heels, and they don't have to hobble along on high heels. These are choices.
Women don't have to either. They choose to.
I understand you're saying that they choose to, but they also feel that that it's like an outfit in many corporate world, in the secretaries and different places. Well, they change their shoes once they're on the street in New York City. Have you ever been, to a big city? The women have tennis shoes in their bag so that they can walk on the street. And then they put the shoes on when they go into their office because it's part of an outfit. It's part of
it happened even with men. I was talking to a couple of guys yesterday, and we're talking about steroids. This person that I was talking to knew two guys that were actually taking steroids. Why do they do it? They want to look good. They want to look buffed. No, let me tell you something. You ever go to a shopping at Nordstrom in the men's underwear area? There's even thongs for men. Men want to look good, too. They want to...
Leonard, you've made your point.
I think it's great that men want to look good. Yeah.
Thank you for calling the Saturday special. Here's Ken in Watsonville. Stand by, Jim and Salinas and Terry and Capitola. You guys will be next. Hey, Ken.
Hello.
You're on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, MZ, and nice to have you as a guest.
Thank you.
I've got a hypothetical question about your social justice and choice. You get a young couple that decide to have sexual intercourse. They both know and choose to do that. Now, the female gets pregnant. She chooses to have an abortion. He wants the baby. Now, on the flip side, if he wants an abortion and she wants to have the baby, he is forced to pay child support.
Yes, I think that he should have used a condom earlier on.
What about her?
Well, if he didn't want to have a child with this woman and he didn't use a condom, then it's his fault. I mean, then what's the really talk about here?
There is no.
Right. That's called responsibility.
There is no.
There are condoms.
Justice.
Condoms work. Use a condom and don't have a baby.
Okay, but my thing is the fact that women have more choice than men, because if you go to
wow, and in this culture, I didn't really realize that, because abortion rights are really being threatened around the country, and you're telling me that women have more choice than men. This is interesting.
Oh,
yes, women have more choice than men.
Right.
If a woman
decides to have an abortion, the man has no say so in it whatsoever, due to the fact that even if he wants the child, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But listen, Ken, appreciate your call. We don't want to go down the abortion trap here, I don't think. Do we, Chris in Monterey?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, Chris. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold on. I promised Jim and Salinas he'd be next, so here he is. Jim, you're on. Hello, Jim?
Oh, hi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the challenge about why we need to have an expenditure on military and prosecuting the war on terror. And there are many, many things I could say that would take a long time, but I think just a simple soundbite answer, considering the subject you have at hand there today, is, ma'am, it's so that you will not have to wear a burqa, and you will not have to stay at home, and you won't have to walk several paces behind your husband.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jim and Salinas. Now, that's the kind of call we like, short and sweet.
But do you think that's why we have a military budget 15 times that of any other country? I mean, why do we have such a huge military expenditure just to keep women out of burkas? This is interesting.
Okay,
I'll have to think about that.
Let's see what Terry and Capitola has to say. What do you have to say, Terry?
I have two brief questions and a comment.
Okay.
Ms. Simon, I suppose that you're Simonton. I suppose that you're in favor of diversity. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I suppose you're in favor of equality also. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
If you look up in the dictionary, the word diverse means to be different. If you look up in the dictionary, the word equal means to be the same. Things cannot be simultaneously the same and different. And that's the dilemma that liberals tend to face. You have to pick one.
Well, if there's a power dynamic that's off, if one group has more power than another, then things are not equal, correct? And
well,
if I want things to be more equal, then I would still want that equality. And in addition to that, that I would also want, within that equality, the ability to accept diversity. So it's really...
my point.
No, I think you're missing mine.
No, my point is that if, in fact, two people are diverse, they're different.
Right.
There's going to be different consequences of that diversity. It will cause differences. Michael Jordan is a diverse person for me athletically. That's why he got to play in the NBA and I didn't, because of that diversity. The same thing is true sexually. Men and women are diverse for whatever reasons.
Well,
nature.
Michael Jordan isn't different from you sexually, I don't think.
No, but I said athletically.
Oh, okay.
And so for whatever reasons, nature evolved us to be two sexes. We reproduce sexually. And that means that there's specialization. Women carry babies, men don't. That's why that guy previously was talking about abortion was making his point awkwardly. But still, the point is that women carry babies, men don't. Men can produce a couple million sperm in a second. Women will produce 400 eggs in their lifetime. This is causes different behaviors. And for you to somehow suspect that something that's so important to human nature as reproduction doesn't cause consequences in behaviors, as in different behaviors for different roles that we play, is just simply, you know, a fantasy. It's unrealistic.
Well, I think it's a semantic difference. I mean, you're talking about many different issues here, and
I'm talking about a very basic interest issue. You're either the same or different.
I don't believe that there are just
different consequences. If you're the same, then you can have equality only. But if you're the same, and the truth is, in the argument over equality versus diversity, the diversity argument is the correct argument. We are diverse. And when we are diverse, there are going to be different consequences of that diversity. It's just as simple as that. It's a tautology.
Well, I mean, again, humans exist on a whole range of chromosomal possibilities. So there aren't really just two genders that you just plug into one and the other.
Yes, there are. There aren't exactly two genders.
There are not two genders.
There's a few aberrant people who are hermaphrodites, but that's such a tiny proportion of the population.
Yes, it's not.
The truth of the matter is you're either male or female. You either have two X chromosomes or an X and a Y, one or the other.
No, it's not really true. I mean, there are women...
Not true?
No, it's not true, because they actually were doing sex testing during the Olympics a few years back. They've luckily stopped it, but they actually had a, women have to be sex tested, and they had to have just the two X chromosomes. Many women who are competitive might be carrying a Y chromosome along with
them. I recognize it.
So they would be
20% of the population that has confused chromosome issues. But it's probably less than 0.01% of the population. So it's not really relevant to this discussion, because I assume that you're not making this argument for 0.01% of the women, of the female population.
Okay.
The vast majority of women are women. The vast majority of men are male. And they are different. And as a result, there will be different behaviors based on that. Men, one of the best strategies, if you've got millions of sperm, is to spread them as far and wide as possible. It's the best reproductive strategy. Women, because they carry babies, have to treat their eggs very, very carefully, because they're going to carry that baby. And as a result, down through history, as Michael pointed out, I think back to the Romans, there was pornography. And the reason why is because men have always had a certain strategy towards sex, which is fundamentally different than women, and it's simply because they're different. End of story.
Okay, since that's the end of the story, we're going to thank Terry and Capitola for calling and welcome Chris in Monterey to the KSCO Saturday special.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Doing all right. I have a quick question. If you weren't going to spend the money on the military budget, where would you spend it on?
Education, health care, cleaning up the environment, lots of things that would make our lives a lot better.
Well, why... How do we defend ourselves? I mean, what government agency, or what does the civilian population do to defend itself against a foreign stateless or state aggressor?
I think that if we stopped being the aggressor in the world, that we might be able to make friends with people, and then we wouldn't be so full of fear and fearful about being attacked or having terrorist attacks. I mean, if we really are so concerned about terrorist attacks, why wouldn't the Bush administration want to sell, you know, our ports to an Arab country, Dubai, which is part of the Arab Emirates. That they were one of three countries that supported the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's something that you really should think about. I mean, this administration has gone mad, if you ask me, and they've gone crazy.
No, you're a little wrong about that.
I'm not wrong about
the English, Britain owned the ports or the leases to the ports.
Correct.
That corporation, a foreign corporation, was selling that management control to the ports, to the United Arab Emirates. It wasn't the U.S. that's doing it, and we are still in charge of security. But that doesn't answer the question of how do we defend ourselves. Do we defend ourselves just by complying to get along? I mean, how many people do you know that in order to get along every day, when they get up in the morning to go to work, comply with what everybody else wants?
Well, let me suggest to you that
what's the attrition rate of Americans in the country in order to comply?
Why is it that before 9/11 did many European airlines already use big bolts on their doors guy that drives the plane.
The pilot.
They had locked doors before 9/11, and for some reason we didn't have that in the United States. This was something that even Ralph Nader had been working on. You know, he was the one that worked on trying to make people safe. There's things that we could be doing right now that would make us a lot safer than we are, and we're not doing them.
Have a strong military as a deterrent.
I don't think our strong military, it's being wasted. They're over in a place that never had the weapons of mass destruction, and it's, you know, it's a huge waste of our energy. So
that's not proven fact that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction.
Yes, it has been proven.
No, it has. No one has ever come out and said, hey, they don't have weapons of mass destruction.
It's actually been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I hadn't heard that. They just hadn't found them yet.
Oh, they haven't found them yet.
That's the only thing that's been proven, that they haven't found them
yet. I see. And wait a minute. Why aren't we going after Osama bin Laden right now? And instead, we're in Iraq. Could you explain that to me?
He's hiding.
If you want to be safe,
that man is hiding underneath a rock someplace.
Oh, he's hiding under a rock.
You bet he is, because as soon as he puts his head up, it'll get taken off.
I don't know if it will be taken off.
You got people out there.
Wait a minute. Are you a believer?
Trying to find those people, and he's spending most of his time on the run. Even if he is alive, we don't even know if he's alive.
Well, you know, I don't know if inviting Dubai into our ports is going to be any help.
Let's see if we can get back to the topic. But how? But listen, we want to thank Monterey Chris from calling. And now it's time for serial faxer on the telephone. This is rare. Hello, serial.
Hello?
You're on.
Oh. Good morning, MC.
How are you, serial?
Good morning, guest.
Good morning.
Interesting show. Why did you not respond to my invitation?
Oh, was I supposed to? I was unclear about that invitation.
Really?
Well, he can't.
Let me clear it up. What are you unclear on?
Should I read it again?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have it in my hand.
It says, "Dear M, you want to read it, or should I just read it to yourself, or read it again?"
Let me just slip into something sexy. Go to a strip club.
Oh, geez, I think you're editing.
Well, I'm trying to get the idea here. Seminar on midwifery. What are you talking about here?
Okay, never mind, Ann. You at the beginning of the show, you mentioned your sense of humor. I think you disproved that one there. But let me just respectfully submit the following, all
okay.
right?
Okay.
I don't think you can have pornography without women. And I think that we both agree there's a forest fire, but you're blaming the trees. I think you got to talk to the fire.
Well, you can't have slavery without slaves either,
you know,
can
what?
You?
I think in the 50s and the 60s that tired thing was actually true. But I think, I don't even own a VCR, so I'm not involved in the world of pornography, but I do listen to the radio and watch TV.
Well, there's enough pornography there.
We're celebrating ourselves. You know, I think you kind of missed the parade here. I think if you think there's a problem with pornography, I think you should talk to the women.
I have talked to the women, and there's a huge group of women that are very concerned about it, and that they are coming forward and talking about having post-traumatic stress syndromes and things like as if they've been in a war victim.
May I continue?
Yeah, I'm just trying to let you know that I have spoken to the women in the industry.
Well, I'm just trying to set my question up here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I notice how you approach each problem here, and you seem to be casting the blame. We all agree there's problems, but, you know, women aren't wearing high heels because of men. Women, no one's making women wear high heels and short dresses. Pick up a Cosmopolitan. That's your sisters there. You need to talk to them. You don't need to blame the men. The men may be dogs, but like I say, it takes two to tango, and you keep blaming one dancer.
No, I'm really not trying to assign blame on any level. What I'm trying to do is open us up for the idea that we could live in a different kind of a world where individuals were able to have more free choices, where there could be more relaxed standards around how we look, that we wouldn't be so obsessed with the way that we look.
It starts with you, my friend, not me.
I don't wear heels.
Well, fine. Talk to your sisters.
I do talk to my sisters.
Well, I'm sorry.
But I like to talk to my brothers as well.
I wish you would listen to this show when it's replayed tonight at 10 o'clock on KSCO. And I wish you would just listen to how you approach each problem by blaming the wrong person. Like I say, you're blaming the trees and not the forest fire.
Serial, do you still want a date with Anne after all this?
Well, she still hasn't answered me. And I kind of like women with a sense of humor. I mean, I know she's bright, and that's one of my first prerequisites, but they got to be able to have a sense of humor. Lighten up, Ann, please. This is the 21st century.
Serial, you know, we feel like we've been deprived of one of your cartoons. Do you think you can whip one up in the next 6 minutes or so?
Of course.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Anything for you, MZ.
Thank you. Okay, here goes, there goes. Yeah. Now listen, Sean in Prunedale and Carl in Santa Cruz, we're going to get to your phone calls next, but I have to play these commercials here, so stand by.
Hi, look what my boyfriend got me for Valentine's Day. Roses and chocolates. Maybe he's cheating on me.
My sweetheart bought me a .38 special revolver and shooting lessons. I know he's not cheating on me.
The Golden State Second Amendment Council meets at Harry's Hofbräu on Saratoga Avenue in San Jose the last Thursday of each month.
It takes a lot of energy to fire your home, and I have energy to spare. Hello, my name is Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone Associates in Capitola. How much energy do I have? I've lived in Australia, Japan, England, New York, and now in Santa Cruz County. I founded the Core Leaders Children's Theater, and this year we're putting on four plays. I founded the County Daffodil Society and we planted 360,000 daffodils. And I buy and sell real estate across the world. When it comes time to sell your home, list with someone who has energy to spare. That's me. I'm Heidi Theodore, and I have energy to sell your home. Call me 24/7 at 831-464-5093. I'm Heidi Theodore with Sherman & Boone, 464-5093, or HeidiTheodore.net. By the way, there's only one Heidi Theodore, and that's me.
Okay, real quick, we want to tell you about the Gold and Silver Show that you shouldn't miss.
Be sure to listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Talkback Radio for the Central Coast. Financial Survival is heard at 1 p.m. every Monday and Tuesday. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back. In the final minutes of the KSCO Saturday special, we got Carl in Santa Cruz, then Sean in Prunedale. Carl, you're up. You're on. Hello.
Hi, Ann. Hey. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for the show.
You bet.
Just two things. I'll do it real quick here.
Yeah.
One is I think it's really important for the self-esteem of women and so on. It's real important on that. But part of the thing is to have a dialogue and an understanding and not these taking sides of parties or sides of the goal line or something. Just we need to be able to talk about this a little bit.
Well, that's what the Saturday special is all about.
And that's wonderful. That's great. But I've noticed, like, one time I went to see a session in Congress. People would be talking to empty rooms. They'd go out. The other person would come in and talk. And it was all on C-SPAN. It was like people weren't even listening. And so that's the deal. This is good, and we need to talk and listen. The second thing, though, Ann, is when you said about we don't really need to have any money in defense, you just threw out the Constitution. Part of the reason for the government is to provide a common defense. Whether it's a play yard with children, or whether it's a jungle, or whether it's the world has history forever, you will have bullies and you need to be protected. And that's part of our thing. Thanks for the show.
I never said that I wanted to get rid of our military budget. I wanted to lessen it, rather than continually make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Carl, thanks for your call. Here's Sean in Prunedale. You're on, Sean.
Hi. I'm just wondering if our caller has any children. I mean, not our caller, but our speaker has any children.
Yes,
yes I do. I have a son.
Oh, and how old is he?
He's almost 16.
Okay. Well, I have six children. The oldest is 27. The youngest is 4. 5 daughters, 1 son. And they're just really different from the get-go. They don't... My son is a twin with a daughter, and from the time they crawled, they were different. She would play with blocks like they were dolls, and he would play with blocks like they were cars. And I asked my grandmother, I said, what happened before they could make the zoom zoom sound of cars? And she said, little boys would learn to click their tongues like horses.
I agree that there's a biological difference between males and females. I certainly don't disagree with that. But what I believe in a culture that we could create a lot more acceptance for, say, boys playing with a baby doll. We're very homophobic against bringing young boys up in a culture where it's okay for them to play, dress up in little pink dresses. They get attacked. They get castigated. They're going to be smacked across the face and said, take off that pink thing. And I think that we just need to open ourselves up to the idea that we are very different, but that what we teach them is extraordinarily important.
Well, I think part of what's happened, because the women have been in the past subjugated and they have grown in power, is that now they have so much power that the little boys are being subjugated and they're not being taken care of in the school system, nor are wives necessarily caring and loving for their husbands. They're demanding. And I think that that's something that's been lost, that we need to regain that caring, loving feeling.
Okay. Hey, listen, hate to do
thank
this,
you.
But it's the end of the program. Anne, thanks for being with us.
You're
a great, great
thanks.
Guest. Hope you
thanks.
Come back sometime soon. Best of luck with your continued work with MediaWatch.com.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. And this program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at KSCO.com.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Sam.
News Radio, I'm Allison Slater. Trying to get Iraq back on track, Sunni and Shiite clerics reaching an agreement banning attacks on each other's mosques, and members, meanwhile, another type of ban taking effect.